From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. The past few years have been some of the worst on record for wildfires in the United States. The 2018 campfire in Butte County with the town of Paradise was the deadliest and most costly in California's history. It's still a mystery as to what 2019 will bring, but in May, I talked with the new CAL FIRE director, Chief Tom Porter. He had just gone back to Paradise to be updated on the recovery efforts, and I wondered what people ask him when they find out he's the CAL FIRE director.
Most often it's, how can we stop this? How can we turn the trend that we've been seeing? And it's a really hard question to field because there is no one answer. The answer to that question is multifaceted. It has to do with the structural environment where our homes and subdivisions and communities are. It has to do with the interface lands that are between those and the wildlands. I'll call those further out, and the forests, and developing a resilient system of all of these things that can withstand wildfire.
So, Chief, when people ask you that question, do you hear it as them saying, how do we stop the fires that are going to start, or how do we stop the fires from beginning in the first place? Because I think the emphasis on that question has changed a lot just in the last couple of years.
It really has, and we've really emphasized fire prevention in the recent years, and we're still having big fires. I think what everybody needs to understand is that California is a fire-prone geography, end to end, top to bottom. Every single acre in California that can burn will burn someday. It just
you
depends
mean
on
that
the conditions.
Without climate change or without urban development, you mean just as it sits, this piece of geography in the world is going to burn?
Yes, and it has for thousands of years. And what we're seeing now with climate change, thank you for bringing that up, is an acceleration of that. And the vegetative fuels that are much drier than they normally would be throughout the year, that is making fires very hard to control, as well as the amount of development that we've had out into those areas.
Let's say a bit about your background, because your career spans 30 years, but not all of that is with CAL FIRE. And I think a piece of your career is important to understand how you look at the fire picture.
No, I appreciate that. I went to Berkeley for forestry school, I have forestry background that spans from Washington State to Oregon, and then here in Northern California. I actually lived in and worked in Nevada City for about 7 years. And then I came to CAL FIRE, and I've been with CAL FIRE for a little over 20 years. I really pivoted my forestry education into fire. And I've spent all of my time with CAL FIRE dealing with large and damaging fires. I was in Southern California during the early 2000s when we had the beetle epidemic and the dead trees and then the large fires. And so I really developed my background in large wildfire management and then the fuels reduction piece of that that needed to be done in order to ensure that we weren't going to have communities burning up in those fires.
After Chief Ken Pimlott announced his retirement as the director of CAL FIRE, you became the acting director. In the process of the confirmation hearings, you were asked about defensible space, and you were asked about new weaponry and where does CAL FIRE go from here. And I believe in those hearings you'd said something like, there is no one silver bullet. And the question I think that everybody wonders is there going to be an answer? Because there's a lot said about mega fires, these inferno fires being our new normal.
Yeah, and I think we do have to realize that the new normal is going to present more large fires. What we need to do is work toward being resilient toward those fires. We don't want those fires to burn up communities. We don't want them, for instance, Paradise. We don't want them to burn up our natural resources and damage our watersheds. So the all of the above approach that we're really working toward is forest management, making sure that we have forests that are resilient to fire, because fire needs to go through those areas. It's a natural part of the ecosystem, and it's healthy for forests. the interface lands, we really need to do fuels work, introduce fire where we can, but also do our own type of management of the vegetative fuels. And then we need to make sure that homes have defensible space, and that's the landowner's responsibility for wildfire preparedness. Then we really need to, in earnest, encourage landowners to do their structure hardening and really get whole communities to have structures that are hardened to ember intrusion and those things that will burn a house down from very far away from an active fire, just because those embers can enter into the building and start an attic fire.
Where were you last year when Paradise was burning?
We were all at a meeting in Marin with all of the northern chiefs, and the fire broke that morning. We immediately scattered back to our jobs. Mine was to be back here in Sacramento at the Joint Command Center over with OES at Mather Field. I spent my time there helping to coordinate resource movement and answer some critical questions that were coming through our elected officials and others.
When were you most recently in Paradise?
I had the opportunity about 6 weeks ago to visit Paradise with Governor Newsom and also Director Ghilarducci from OES. We spent some time in a town hall meeting setting and then visited some school children that are still going to school up there, by the way, which is amazing because there isn't much of a community left up there. And I'm sure your listeners have heard this and many have seen for themselves. Paradise it was more or less demolished by this fire.
I am interested in how that fire changed the firefighter mindset, how it changed the inside of CAL FIRE going into this fire season, what difference it might make.
It really is an emotional one for all of us. There are things that happened on that fire that might have happened here and there in the past, but firefighter actions and decisions that had to be made at a moment's notice that aren't things that we train for. We train to be resilient and make decisions on the fly and get through situations. But there were some things that had to happen in order to save people's lives that were very difficult. Pushing burning cars out of roads, for instance, with a bulldozer. And bulldozers don't do that. That's not something we train for, but that's something that needed to happen at the time. But what we have learned from Paradise is that even a community that did everything right in preparation for this kind of a fire, the fire outstripped what the expectation was of the worst case scenario. That is the climate change effect. And so we're seeing things happening that are outside of even our worst case scenario planning. And so now we're going back and reviewing plans. We're going back and identifying where the most vulnerable elements of a community are, not just the community itself as a whole, but where are the people in the community that don't have vehicles? Where are the people that have young children that are not of school age, might be at home during when most of these fires occur in the early afternoon? Where are the people that really need the support to get out because of medical reasons or just mobility reasons?
As part of that, the National Guard has been called in. Are there some tools that you might wonder, wow, why has the National Guard never been involved before?
In order to utilize National Guard in this way, it required an emergency order. That's what's happened to make this possible. While the National Guard is always with us, they're not always able to join us in this part of the mission. Governor Newsom made that possible. So by making that possible, making this an emergency, we have been able to put together 5 joint crews. So the crews that are doing the work on the ground are joined by CAL FIRE firefighters and an overhead person, a captain, to make sure that they're meeting the objectives and doing the work appropriately and safe. We've been doing this for several years when we have wildfires. Mm. And we've been putting guard crews out doing wildfire work. This is different because we've trained the crew members to utilize chainsaws And so they're actually cutting the brush and they're removing the fuels, and actually will make them more effective if we need them for firefighting later in the season.
I have two more questions I want to cover. Number one, what's number one, two, and three on the list for people getting ready for this fire season?
No matter where you are in California, wildfires can and will affect your life, whether it's evacuation, whether it's people coming to your community that have been evacuated. All of these things will have that effect to you. But Ready, Set, Go, utilizing our app for iDevices or Android, and you'll find that there's evacuation planning tools, emergency kit planning tools. There's structure hardening checklists that you can do, all interactive and defensible space as well. These tools also allow you to click on and watch videos of actually what we mean by these different things. It's a very handy tool. Anybody can get it. It's a free app.
What is the 2019 fire season looking like?
2019 is shaping up to be a very difficult fire season. Just seeing the change in fires now that the grass is starting to cure in areas of the state, grass makes fires very easy to start. And they carry quickly into the chaparral-covered landscape and then into the forest. You've heard us for years saying lots of rain, lots of grass, terrible fire season. Drought. No grass, but still terrible fire season. Every fire year in California is going to be a difficult one for us. And climate change has made that even more extreme. But every Californian needs to do their part. 95% of fires are started by human activity. Most of those are by accident. So be careful.
That's CAL FIRE Director Chief Tom Porter from a conversation in May of 2019. We have many resources, news stories, interviews, and a color-coded map of California's wildfire history on our website. It's at capradio.org/wildfires. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.